Good evening. I'm Joe Brazino, pastor of Locust Grove Church, and I want to welcome you during this Holy Week of Passover as we're approaching that here in a couple of days, or tomorrow rather. I have my days mixed up, but tonight we're going to continue along the series that we've been on for several weeks now, God the Holy Spirit. And with that, we're going to begin to explore in the next couple of weeks my most favorite ministry aspect of the Holy Spirit, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles handy with you, I've got mine here. If you'd like to open them up to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to enjoy a good Bible study, which is my favorite ministry, like I said, of the Holy Spirit. Now, while you're turning in your Bibles, I want to share a story. There was one morning when Starbucks was open. I longed for those days. But when Starbucks was open, and I was reading my Bible, and I was sipping on my coffee, and a gentleman walked by me. And as he walked by me, he left this kind of trail of a wow scent. You could tell it was not cheap cologne. You could tell it was very expensive cologne. So I got his attention. I said, "Sir," I said, "what's the name of your cologne? Because that really smells good. And where did you buy it?" And he said, "Oh, I ordered it online, and this is the name of the cologne." I said, "Wow, that smells really good." You know, it wasn't overbearing. It wasn't in your face. It wasn't like really strong or oppressive, but it was just enough to really catch your attention. And I say that illustration because we're going to look at a scripture about what the Holy Spirit does with our lives. Okay, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, let's jump into verse 14. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses or manifests the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Verse 15. "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Isn't that a powerful thought? That God uses our broken lives, our feeble, weak selves, and by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He diffuses this spiritual scent to others, to other believers, to some non-believers, that to them it would be a scent that would be attention-grabbing. It would grab their attention. And I'm telling you what this fragrance is. This fragrance is nothing more, nothing less than the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I know that not all real fruit has scent or smells like anything, but I always like enjoying, or I enjoy peeling an orange and smelling the citrusy smell of it. Or what about slicing a peach, pitting it, and smelling that beautiful scent of a ripened peach? Now, bananas to me don't have a scent, neither do apples, but it's all good. And so as we explore tonight the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I want to also use that and link it with this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I also would like to call it the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Why and how could I do that? Well, you know, the Lord just said through the writings of Paul that you and I, he will diffuse this fragrance, that we are to God the aroma of Christ, that we will smell just like Jesus did to others in his day, that we, in our lives, where we're at, will smell like that to others. But it has to be a deliberate effort on our part, okay? So turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of Galatians. Just take a right from 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5, please. And we're going to start digging into the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful, beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit that involves character transformation, that involves making decisions that are for the best of everyone involved. And so we want to explore that this evening. So if you're in Galatians chapter 5, let's just jump into verse 22, read a couple of verses. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Okay, so notice here, these are all nine fruit. Notice it does not say fruits, plural. It says fruit, singular. So all of these come part and parcel with each other. And we're going to discover here shortly that all the primary fruit of the Holy Spirit is the first one listed. It is love. Love is the mother of all the other eight fruit of the Spirit. How can I say that? Well, one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness. Well, didn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love is gentle? Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not proud. Right? Love, and I like the way the Amplified Version says it, love believes the best of every person. Do you believe that? You know, I've had situations, and here one recently, where I've had someone kind of attack me and come against me, and I've chosen just to keep my mouth shut and to them, and I've said, look, I'm not going to engage in this kind of conversation with you. It's not worth it. I'm not going to stoop to that level. And I said, if you persist, I said, we're not going to be friends anymore. And to them, I had to just draw the boundary. I had to be gentle. I had to be kind, but I also had to be firm. And say, look, I'm not called to be your doormat. And I'm not, you know, I use this illustration because I'm from Mexico. I'm not your little piñata that you can swing at will. I might look like that to you. I had a church member once, you'll dig this, Bev. She said that I dress like a piñata. Well, maybe tonight I do. But anyway, so, you know, there are times that we enforce that, but we can enforce boundaries in a very kind and gentle way, but firm as well. And to me, part of exercising the fruit of the Holy Spirit on that person's behalf is protecting their dignity. Just because they're attacking me, I don't have to tell anybody else about the attacks. I can keep it to myself, protect their dignity, let people believe the best of that person. Okay, so it begins with love. We'll talk about love here shortly, but have you all ever seen a bed of flowers or flowers growing wild out in a slope or a hill? I've been at the base of a mountain where the hills were covered by all of these, the base of the hills, rather, were covered by, or of the mountains, were covered with all these beautiful wild flowers that were growing. But you know, if it wasn't for those flowers, if those flowers were removed, then in fact, in the fall, when they get burned up and wither and usher in the autumn season, then you see that there's rugged terrain underneath that patch of wild growing flowers. Now, I draw that illustration to say that you and I are a lot like that. We are a lot like that rugged terrain in our personalities without Jesus. Hello. We're pretty rough and tumble. We're pretty rugged. Don't look at me like you're as pure as the driven snow here, baby. You're not Snow White. But you know, think of what we would be like without Christ, without the Holy Spirit in our lives. Jesus brings out the best in us. And the best that we could possibly be is to be exactly like Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. How many of y'all know He is a Savior of love? He demonstrates love. He is faithful. He is kind. He is patient. He is merciful. He is long-suffering. Think of how long He's had to put up with you. I often think of how long He's had to put up with me and not written me off and not given up on me. That's His fruit. And His Spirit wants to replicate that fruit in our lives. He wants us to demonstrate love, and that's the first one, okay? The first one, we'll just look at the first one tonight, and then we'll, because the first one is, to me, is of utmost importance as it is the mother of the other eight fruit of the Holy Spirit, okay? So, love is the Greek word agapao. That's the verb tense, agapao, which means to love in the highest form possible that a person can love. To to love in the highest form. It is the most pure love that can be found on planet Earth. But humans cannot muster up that love in and of themselves. No, this is God's kind of love. This is the God kind of love, agapao, to love. It is the most noble, it is the most pure manifestation of love. It is truly God's love. It is a selfless love. It is a love that seeks the highest and the best of everyone around them. Okay? Seeks the highest and the best of everyone around them. It is not a self-seeking love. It is not a self-serving love. It is a sacrificial love. It is a giving love. It is a love that never runs out. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, Paul the Apostle wrote. Okay, so it is important that we wrap our spirits or sink our spiritual teeth into this reality of love. Now, real quickly, there are four words in the Greek language from which the New Testament was written, okay, that describe love. And there's agape, agapao. Agape is a noun. Agapao is the verb. Okay, there's eros, that is sexual love, intimate love. There is storge, there's a familial respect. And then there's Philadelphia, brotherly love. And of those four, the highest, most noble, most giving, most selfless, most action-oriented love is agape love, the noun, agapao, the verb. And the Holy Spirit wants to produce that love in our lives. Have you discovered that with time, you know, I'm 54 here in a couple of days, and I'm just thinking, you know, I've chilled quite a bit. You can ask my daughter. I used to kind of get a little nitpicky about everything, and every slight little thing used to bother me. And, you know, I'm like, you know what? Life's too short, man. I'm in the middle of my race, and I better start looking at the most important things available. And I ought to treat them with love and esteem them the way they need to be esteemed. Well, the love of God does that in our hearts. It goes out to other people. Here's another illustration. Have y'all ever had a chia pet? You know, we grew up with those. Those originated in Mexico. Those did not come from America. I know they're real popular here. But anyway, so, you know, my mom would buy like a dog or a lamb. The sheep was kind of the most popular one in Mexico. And she would put the chia seeds inside of that like pottery. Just to look at the pottery, it was rough. It was rugged. But, you know, as she watered it every day, the sprouts begin to grow outside of that and formed like the fleece, what appeared to be the fleece of that sheep in that chia pet. And I want you to see your life not unlike that chia pet. We're rugged, we're rough in and of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit begins to grow and bear fruit and produce fruition with our lives. And then people will see the green around and won't see the rugged, rough parts of our being, of our soul. Does that make sense? Can you picture it? That's what our lives are like. We're like chia pets. When properly watered, already the seeds are within us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, verse 9, that he who is born of God, the seed of God remains in him. You can't have fruit without seed. Seed is born, or fruit rather, is born from seed. Okay? And the seed of God already remains in us. That word, the Greek word for seed in that verse of scripture is the Greek word sperma, from which we get our English word sperm. Okay? And all we need has already been planted in us, like that chia. The seeds are already in us. But we need to water them. We need to practice love. It is an action verb. We need to practice love. You know, John said in John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, he said, you know, what good? How can you say the love of God is in you when you see a brother in need and you just tell him, God bless you and be fed and be warmed, but you do nothing about that. You don't help out that person in need. How does the love of God abide in us? So I want to leave us with that thought, okay? We're just beginning to explore this. This is my very favorite, all-time favorite part of the Holy Spirit, and that is us becoming more and more, a little here, a little there, day by day, week by week, month by month, year after year, more like our Savior Jesus Christ. I hope this has blessed you. Let's bow and pray, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson, God, that comes from your word. Thank you, Father, for the fruit that you long to bear in and through us. Father, we ask for growth in our lives. We thank you, God, that you are on our side and you are committed to our growth and you're committed to our fruit-bearing process, Lord. You're committed to us to the very end. Help us to grow and to flourish and to represent Jesus Christ, Lord, to grow attributes of Christ, predominantly the first one, most important. Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The most important is love, Lord. May we grow in that more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.